We're very thankful for everyone that works with our young people. And throughout the year, our junior choirs are led by Michelle McCleary, who leads the older part of the junior choir, and my wife, Jenny Starr, who works with the younger group. And in the Christmas musical, they come together, and so they've worked together to present this year's Children's Christmas program. And then Lynette and Kate, yes, both of them play the piano for these two groups throughout the year. So we hear them sing in our evening services once in a while. But tonight's a big night because they put a lot of work in to present to you the Christmas musical by our children. Michelle.
He said that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This evening, you'll hear the story from direct witnesses and see a reenactment on the event. The story begins over 2,000 years ago in the town of Nazareth. I, Gabriel, spoke to Mary, the young virgin, to tell her the good news that God has chosen her to be the mother of this Emmanuel.
You are blessed among women. The Lord is with you. You will bear a son, and his name will be Jesus. He will be great and called Son of the Most High.
May it be as you have said.
God sure made a wise choice in choosing Mary. She was a good mother to Jesus. Another situation that needed handling with Jesus' adoptive father. A poor carpenter named Joseph was engaged to be married to Mary, but he discovered that she was already with child. In those days, it would have been customary for Joseph to end the engagement, and that is exactly what Joseph was thinking about doing. However, that was not God's plan. This is what happened.
I was all excited about taking a young wife named Mary, but I just discovered she is already with child. Now I don't know what to do. I thought she was a virtuous woman, but I must have been mistaken. I'll just dismiss her quietly to avoid embarrassing her.
Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She is carrying the Holy Spirit's child. She will bring forth his son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save all his people from their sins.
I'll do as you have said. I'll take Mary as my wife and provide for her, and raise Jesus as my own adopted son.
Praise be to God!
was another situation that needed handling with Jesus' adoptive father. It came to pass that Joseph took Mary as his wife, and then Caesar Augustus made a decree that everyone had to pay taxes, and that they had to pay the taxes from the city that their family is from. Since Joseph's family was from Bethlehem, that meant that he and Mary had to make a long trip back to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. You're going to hear the story firsthand from someone that went on that trip with them. I introduce to you the donkey that carried Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem.
I am a witness to the journey that Joseph and Mary took from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and also of what happened in the stable. Let me just say that it's a long way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. 80 miles as the crow flies, and longer for us on the road. Mary was great with child, so Joseph led me as I carried her and their provisions. Neither one of them complained, nor did I, but only due to my vow of silence with humans. I knew they were disappointed when we arrived in Bethlehem, but all the inns were full. We were lucky that a kind innkeeper let us take shelter in his stable. Here's what happened.
My wife and I have been traveling for nearly a week from Nazareth to Bethlehem and need a place to lodge. Do you have room for us at your inn?
I would like to help, but my inn is full of travelers who have come to pay their taxes.
My wife is great with child. Is there no place that I may take her to rest?
The only space left around here would be for you to stay in the stable with the animals.
We would be very thankful for that.
I will show you the way.
And that is how Joseph and Mary ended up in a stable in Bethlehem. I'll let my bovine friend tell you what happened in the stable.
It was a busy evening in the stable with so many people traveling for the census. all the stalls were filled with unfamiliar donkeys. Then walked in two humans and another donkey. I was a little concerned about the female because she sounded like she was in pain. Well, the next thing I knew, there was another human. A baby boy was born. I offered my feeding manger for a bed for the little guy. There seemed to be something very special about him.
He protects me. In fact, and protects me. I trust him with my life.
Once I was lost from the other sheep, and he found me and brought me back to the fold. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. I am not afraid when I am with him. He comforts me. I shall stay with my shepherd for all my days. Once my shepherd and I were frightened out of our wits. An angel appeared before us and told us about a Savior being born in Bethlehem. I hope this newborn Savior will take as good care of his people as my shepherd takes care of me. The shepherds went to see the newborn Savior and took us with them. The shepherds worshipped the baby Jesus and seemed really happy to see him. This is how it happened one night while the shepherds were watching over us.
Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy. A baby boy is born in the city of David. He is your Savior, Christ the Lord.
You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger.
God is with you. God is with you. The next morning, we traveled to Bethlehem in search of our baby in a manger. We found him and were truly blessed to see him. The shepherds told everyone what the angel had told them concerning the child. All who heard them wondered at what they said.
I was a prisoner in King Herod's palace. He needed a peaceful influence, like me, a dove. Herod was concerned that this newborn baby would come and become king in his place. He could see that the people were excited for the baby's comings, and I knew that his intentions for finding the baby Jesus were evil. I feared that he would have the baby killed. This is what happened in the days of Jesus' birth when the wise men came to Jerusalem.
Wise men are looking for a king other than myself. What do you know of this?
Sire, I have heard that they are being led by... Sire, I have heard the same as you, but only you are king.
Have you heard how these wise men will find this false king?
Your Majesty, I have heard that they are being led by a star.
Find these wise men and bring them to me so that I may also question them.
Yes, Your Majesty.
This is what happened when King Herod's assistant summoned the Magi.
Greetings, wise men from the east. What brings you so far from the east to my kingdom?
We have followed the star for the baby Jesus.
We are to worship him and bring gifts for him.
Please travel through my kingdom with my blessing and find the child, and bring me word about him so that I may also see him.
We go in peace.
After being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, the wise men returned to their homes by another way. Now you have heard the account of Jesus' birth firsthand from witnesses. He was a priceless gift from God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, for that the world through him might be saved.
Holy night, holy night.
Great job, didn't they? Boy, wonderful, wonderful job by the children and the directors and the instrumentalists. And boy, boy, we're blessed to be able to get the good news to the children. If you take your Bibles, I would like to go to Matthew chapter 1 tonight as we finish up the service. At the end, we'll sing Joy to the World and dismiss you. Again, we want to thank all of you for coming out. If you're a visitor here and you do not have a church that you attend, we would love to invite you to attend any of our normal services. On Sunday, we meet three times for Sunday school at 9:30. We have children's Sunday school and adult Sunday school, different Sunday schools. And then our morning service at 10:30, and then our evening service at 6:30 on Sundays. And then Wednesday night, normally in this building, we're having a prayer and Bible study time for adults. And then our children are down in the other building in the Master's Club Ministry. And your children are invited to be a part of that if they're not already a part of that. And then our teenagers are downstairs and with our youth pastor and work down there with teens. So there's something going on for everybody on Wednesday nights as well. We're in the book of Matthew, and I was trying to remember what is the most popular name in our church. And I don't know what that name is. I know we have a couple Adams here tonight. I think we might have, let's see, one Cindy here tonight. Let's see, is there any other names that come to your mind that are familiar names in the church? What is it? Eric. Yep, Eric's a popular name. Who? Mark. How many Marks are there? Mark, Scott, is there another Scott? All right, Scott Braddock, that's right, okay. Bev?
It's two Bevs.
There's two Bevs, okay. How many Erics? Four Erics, is there more than four? Caprice?
Emily.
How many? Is there four Emilys? And how many Kathys? One, two, let's see. So there's three or four names that are four. The reason I bring that up is because tonight I want to talk about the name Jesus. But I didn't know this until my study this week, that Jesus was a very popular Jewish name at the time of Christ. In fact, Josephus, who's a biblical historian, refers to about 12 different Jesuses in the time of Christ or before leading up to Christ. One of the things that was happening is some of the Jewish people thought that their child, they were hoping that their child would be the Messiah. So they would name their child Jesus in hopes that he was the Messiah. Of course, our Old Testament, we have a man by the name of Joshua, and that is your Hebrew form of Jesus, okay? And so tonight, I just want to briefly talk about the name Jesus in the Bible. You're in Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. If you're in Matthew chapter 1, drop down to verse number 18, because the Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother was Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And if you drop down to verse number 21, the Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 25, if you would, last verse we'll look at in Matthew 1. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. For those of you that have not been with us the past few Wednesday nights, leading into the Christmas season here, we have been studying why Jesus came to earth. Week number one, we found he came to do the will of God. And thank God that Jesus did his Father's will in coming to earth, dying on a cross for us and for our sins. Week number two, we found he came to bring peace when the world had no peace, and only Jesus can bring true peace. Week number three, we found he came to bear witness of the truth. We found that in John chapter number 6 when he was standing before Pilate. For this reason I came, that I might bear witness of the truth. And tonight we see another reason here in Matthew 1 verse 21. And that is to save people from their sins. Jesus. Jesus is the only human name of our Savior. The word Jesus, the name Jesus, means Savior or Deliverer. Jehovah is salvation, is what Jesus means. God is salvation. And so, have you ever had something go wrong and you didn't know how to fix it? This summer, we got a bill in the mail. And the bill in the mail was our electric bill. And our electric bill was almost $400 for 1 month. What's going on? And with that, I talked to a couple people. And in the meantime, we weren't getting full water pressure everywhere, and it was kind of spritzing. And somebody said, did you ever think that your well pump may be running around the clock? I said, no, never thought of that before. Called a plumber, didn't know what was going on, and needed help, needed deliverance, needed a solution, needed a fix. And he came, looked down on the well pump, said, you got a major leak down there. He said, I can be here at 7 in the morning with the parts, and we can put a new well pump in. And he became, in that sense of that problem, my deliverer. Because I didn't know how to do that. I'd never worked with that before. Some of you men, you would not be intimidated. You pull the well pump and do it all yourself. That ain't your preacher. I needed help. So I called, and we got a plumber in. Adam is his name. And he helped me. He delivered me. He saved me out of that situation. When the Bible speaks about Jesus coming to earth, he came to save people like you and me. I think it's interesting that on three different occasions, the angel speaks to ensure that the name of this child is going to be Jesus. Look at Matthew 1, verse number 20, tying in with the Christmas program tonight. But while he thought on these things, that's Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. And thou, speaking of Joseph, shalt call his name Jesus. We have five ladies that are expecting in our church right now, and we're very, very excited for all of them. One of the exciting things about having a child is getting to pick the name. And sometimes husbands have different ideas of names than wives do, and vice versa. And sometimes we have marriage counseling in my office over... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You understand, Joseph didn't have a choice here. Joseph and Mary were told by the angel, this is what you're going to name this child, Jesus. And everybody in the Jewish culture, including Joseph and Mary, would have known what that name meant. Savior. And by the way, they did name him Jesus, which reveals Joseph and Mary's faith in God's word. Amen. Don't know if you ever saw that before. That's just a nugget for you tonight. When they named him Jesus, they were responding in obedience to God's messenger to name him that. Look down in verse number 30 of Luke 1. I'll go over to Luke chapter 1 tonight. Luke chapter 1. Did you know that the angel also informed Mary that her child's name would be Jesus? In Luke chapter 1, verse number 30, the Bible says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus.
Jesus. To the shepherds, he spoke the same word, but in our English language here in Luke chapter 2, verse number 11, it's translated Savior, but it's the same word, Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, he said to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." There's the word, there's the name, which is Christ the Lord. You see, for all sinners far and wide, rich and poor, black and white, Asian and Hispanic, for all nationalities, the Savior was born. Amen. The Savior was born. It teaches us a great truth. All men and women, boys and girls, need the Savior. They all need the Savior. You see, while this name was God-given through the angel, it was also the name that people used for Jesus when they were believers. Certainly we have even that said of Mary, where in Luke 1:46 she says, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." You see, Mary even realized that she needed a Savior. You see, when Christ was named Jesus, this name was then set apart by his followers as the name that only one person should own. That's Jesus, because he's the only Savior. He's the holy and he's the harmless one. You see, he's not called Jesus just because he was a good example to us, though he lived a perfect life on this earth. The name Christ Jesus means the anointed Savior. Jesus is nothing at all if he's not the Savior. Right. He was anointed by God for this purpose. And his connection to you, sir, ma'am, boy, girl tonight, his connection to you, the reason he came was to deal with your sin. For the Bible says in Matthew 1:21, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now that verse and that statement brings two opposite perspectives. Number one, it brings condemnation. It tells us that all men have sinned. There's trouble with sin. There's bad things with sin. But it brings comfort on the other side of the coin. For Jesus came to save people from their sin. It's a wonderful name, the name Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, it's the first mention of sin in the New Testament. Well, we don't like to hear that word, do we? There's just certain words that, let's not talk about that. Because sin talks about who? It talks about me. And that word in our New Testament means to miss the mark, bow hunters. It means when you're aimed at the target and you release the arrow and you don't hit the bullseye. You've missed the mark. And all people from all nationalities throughout all of human history have missed the mark of perfection in their lives. Right. That's God's standard. And we have missed that mark. You can aim at it, but you're going to miss it because of sin in your life. And so the Bible says, Jesus, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Why did Jesus come to this world? To save you from your sins. Notice, it doesn't say to save you from cancer. Notice, it doesn't say in the Bible that Jesus came to this earth in order to save you from anxiety. Now, can he save somebody from cancer? Can he save somebody from anxiety? Oh, yes. But the greatest saving work that he does is he saves people from their sins. That's why he came to this earth. Paul said it in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And Paul says of himself, "Of whom I am chief, I needed to be saved." Sir, ma'am, if you've never been saved from your sins, then you need Jesus. There's nobody else
that can save you from your sins. You say, when he saves me from my sin, what does he save me from? He saves you from the penalty of sin. There's a horrible penalty on sin, and that's to be separated from God forever. That's to face the judgment of God at the end of this life and be judged in a real place that the Bible describes as a burning place of torture called hell. When you get saved from your sin, he saves you from that place. That's wonderful news, my friend. There's good news for bad people. We're all bad people. But there's great news. Jesus came to save sinners. And if you're saved by Christ, you're saved from the penalty of sin. You're also saved from the pollution of sin. You're saved from that conscience that's guilty and plagued and vile and dirty and all of those things. And when Jesus comes, the Bible says he purges your conscience so that you can live unto God. He saves you from the power of sin, where sin doesn't have to have dominion over you. That's wonderful. That's why he was given the name Jesus. For the name Jesus means Savior, to save you from your sin. By the way, it's interesting in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, for he shall save his people from their sins, that he is emphatic, implying he and nobody else. You can't add somebody else to the saving thing. You can't take Jesus and Mary and Muhammad and put them all together and say, well, I'm just kind of trusting all three. No, he, Jesus, came, he alone gives salvation and saves a soul from sin. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. My friend, tonight, I'm speaking truth to you at the Christmas season. I'm speaking the greatest message I could speak to you, the good news of Jesus Christ. And here's the truth. If you would take Christ by faith, he is the name that has the power to save you. Suppose I were to write you a check for $1 million tonight. Laura, wouldn't that be great if I wrote you a check to Laura Logan? Oh, yeah. Pay the order $1 million. No question. Absolutely. Laura, sad to say, it would be no good to you. For my name is not good for that kind of money. But if Elon Musk or Bill Gates wrote you a check for $1 million, their name would be good. You could take it to the bank, cash it, put the money in your pocket or in the account, or go spend it, but their name would be good. What's the difference? The name. There's people that are coming in all other names, but my friend, you can only come to God in one name. That's Jesus Christ. It says, but these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus, there's the Savior, is the Christ. That means he's divine. The Son of God. And that believing, ye might have life. What's the last phrase? Through his name. Through his name. In John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. My friend, tonight, as we celebrate the wonderful birth of Jesus Christ, could I also say we celebrate the saving power of Jesus? And there would be no greater joy in heaven tonight than if a child in this building went home and said, Mom or Dad, I need Jesus to save me. Could you help me? There'd be no greater joy in Jesus' heart tonight than if an adult that walked in this building without Christ said as they leave this building, oh, Jesus, be my Jesus. Be my Savior. I need you to save me from my sin. And my friend, if you have never prayed and asked Christ to save you, it is not a hard thing. The gospel is not a hard thing. It is you understanding he came to save me from my sin. It's that name. and that name alone.
Amen.
So I want to give you that opportunity in this service. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are bowed.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.